little bit here as well. So I'd like to do something that I do with the senior team, or that I've done with them a bit. It's a little more biblical the way I've done it with them, and I will do that for you as well. But I just want to illustrate something to you about good leadership and serving and responsibility. I'm not going to serve these, don't we? But Andy, will you just come here? I just want to talk to you about the rotas for a minute, because we're all on a million different rotas. You know, there's all sorts of rotas, isn't there? There's the creche rota, and there's the kids rota, and there's the worship rota, preaching rota, tech rota. Oh, go on, give us a few more then. Have you got some more back there, Dan? Can you just serve them?
Just
throw them from there. Last week I fell over.
Need to jump away. Don't stand on it.
This is me.
Put them all in there.
Yes, please.
Thank you. So basically, here is Carolyn with her kids' work responsibilities and all the balls she is juggling. Or here is Tom with the stewarding. Or Stella with the creche. Or Marion with the teen coffee. Or whatever you're doing, there's a million different rotas, and most of you guys are involved in them because you're servicing the church. You're running the church with us. Do you want me to help you?
Yes, please.
Or will you ask me? You can ask me to help you. Will you help me with this rota? And I say, yes, I'll help you. I've taken that responsibility on. That's my responsibility. That's my slot on the rota. Okay? Sometimes life happens and you can't do your slot. Has anyone figured that out yet? Right? It happens with the preaching. It happens everywhere. You know, people get ill, people get sick, people get stressed, people get tired, people need a break, whatever. And you know what? That's all right. Sort of. Providing you realize this is in your hands because it's your responsibility. So good leadership is to do this, to not let go of your slot until you've handed this over properly somewhere. It's not good to do this. I can't make it on Sunday. Thanks. See ya. Which is what some of us do. Okay. Now, nor is it good to ring him up at midnight on Saturday and say, can't come in to do the creche tomorrow, or can't come in to sing tomorrow, or can't come in. That is called below, well, we call that in the senior team, below the line. Okay. It's not good leadership. It's not good character. It's not love, actually. It's not taking our responsibility seriously. And we should take it seriously because we're serving the Lord, aren't we? Yeah. Everything we do is for the Lord. So it's more important than anything else, actually. It's more important than what you do at work. At work, you may be just serving your boss. Of course, your work can be worship if you've given it to the Lord. And if you approach each day like that, it can very much be worship and should be. But whatever you do here in the house of the Lord isn't for Martin Ruddick or for the team. It's for the Lord. It really is for the Lord. And the Bible's very clear. Serve the Lord with gladness, with a smile, or not at all. And serve the Lord with all your heart. David said, I will serve you with all my heart. They're the two requirements for leadership in this church and serving. I don't want you to do the creche unless you're doing it with all your heart and with joy. The Lord doesn't want you to do the kids' work unless you're doing it with all your heart and joy. I don't want you to lead worship, and the Lord doesn't, unless you're doing it with all your heart and joy, or work on the door, or serve tea and coffee, because honestly, if it's not a joy for you, then it's not worship. It's not pleasing and glorifying to God. So do you know what? No pressure. Don't do it. Or do something else. But don't do it unless you've taken this seriously. So if you've got it, you've got it. And we do this in the senior team. If someone takes responsibility for around that table on the senior team, they've got it. And it's theirs until they hand it back properly. I can't do this. Well, hand it back properly then. Don't drop it. Don't bounce it around. Hand it back properly. Now, what should I do with this? What I should do if I'm on any rota is this. I can't do it on Sunday. Or do you know what? It's going to be really stressful for me to do it on Sunday. Or the rotas have clashed and I need to do one. I can't do the other. Da, 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 da. 1,000 reasons. Well, not 1,000, but maybe 10. So what should I do with this? What I do is this. I text Carl. Carl, will you cover for me on Sunday? Because I can't do my slot right? Right, I'm passing it over to Carl. It's going.
Can I put it on?
But here's what happens. He doesn't text me back. Has the ball gone?
No.
No, it's not. It's still here. Yeah. Okay? I still have this responsibility because he hasn't texted me back. This is just good leadership. If he texts you back and says, yeah, bro, no probs. I need to communicate with him to let him know there's been a change. And I need to have had that exchange communication. Then, do you know what? That's good leadership. That's above the line. That's absolutely fine. That's just life. And if you can't do it, no probs at all. If he doesn't text back, or if I don't text him, it is below the line. Because what it means is, whoever's leading this team, and I assure you with hundreds of people, you'll all be leading teams. So whatever you sow, you reap, which is also a principle. If you just give him it back, it's just a little bit below the line. Because that means he has to find someone for that slot in a very short notice. And that's your responsibility because you took it. You took the slot. So that's just one illustration to show you serving the Lord is important. It needs to be done with all your heart and with joy. And it is unto the Lord. And when you take something, any of the rotors, just make sure that the communication goes both those ways and it's clear, and that's good leadership. Then your responsibility has been handled correctly, right, and everybody's happy. Is that okay? At the end of the day, do you know what happens? Some things go wrong because this is life and it's church and there's a devil and there's all sorts of things and communication sometimes breaks down. Oh, I'm done. Thank you very much. I don't know what to do. Oh, do you want these? And when that happens, do you know what? When there's trouble, we just forgive each other. When things go below the line, forgiveness kicks in. Our bottom line is that we love each other, don't we? Help us love each other. And we forgive each other. Darren, what are you going to say?
Are there any rotors that people aren't allowed to be volunteered onto because of child protection?
Yeah, there probably is. Yeah, I think there's child protection issues on different rotors and stuff like that. What was your point?
No, it's more like if you invite and say, can you do...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I suppose instead of just inviting people, willy-nilly, anyone, to cover your spot, they better be able to cover it. I.e., you know, we better know them and they better be kids workers and whatever. Yeah, good point. They have to be on the rotor. They have to be on the rotor. Yeah. Yeah, they have to be on that rotor. Good point. Especially with children and stuff. And you wouldn't just invite anyone, would you? Yeah, have you got another one?
Just contact details of people. Like, not everybody has people's contact details.
Does everyone have everyone's contact details? That is unbelievable, isn't it? So when I send you around an email to everyone, don't you nick those addresses and stick them on your computers? You have email, but you don't have mobiles. Huh? Or what? Well, I'll tell you what. If we send you an email tonight with everyone's emails on, firstly, you lot definitely need everyone's email. So I'll send you an email tonight that's got everyone's and Route 61 and some, even some people who just visit, who are coming on Sundays, who consider themselves part of us and at the shallow end of part of us. But also, try and get each other's phone numbers, A61. Would you be all right to know each other's phone numbers? Of?
I think so.
You knock around together, don't you? So, enough on that. Okay, what was this? Okay. Just another couple of things on M61 as well. The last week of this, Stuart and Marion are having a good time, by the way. They're in Toronto.
Swimming in the car park.
They're doing what?
The news.
Horrific floods?
Yeah.
Swimming in the car park? No, I didn't hear that. Really? Oh, amazing. Oh, well. I thought they were having a good time. The last I heard, they're having a good time. They're very wet, but anyway, I'm sure they're having a good time. And next week, I'm going to speak again on signs and wonders and stuff here. And then the fourth week of A61, Stuart and Marion are back. So it would be just great to get them up here to pray for us all. And let's all have a Holy Spirit blasting. And let's have some signs and wonders and hear what's happened for them in Toronto and stuff. I think that sounds good. Awesome. The other thing is I'm not here because we're in Estonia. We'll be on holiday, which also helps. We'll be on holiday in Estonia. Sort of holiday, a bit of ministry. I'm preaching both the Sundays there. And we'll do a bit of ministry and stuff in between. And with Carl's brother Chris, who a lot of you know. Chris is coming over here to live for a year and do Route and A61. He's laying down his pastoring to come and do that. So we're really excited about that. And while he's here, we're going to try, and while we're there in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to try and start the ball rolling with Carl, Terry and everyone and all these other guys to have a Route 61 camp next year. Our first Amazing Grace Bible Week, hopefully in Estonia, covering all the issues of Route 61 every day for 6 days. So we're really, really excited about the possibility of doing that. It would mean that all of you guys are invited, and we'd let you know as soon as possible so the flights could be as cheap as possible. We're going to try and do it so it's the first week of the summer holidays so that we can take our kids. We're going to do kids' work and as well, and do, you know, open it up to kids, to bless kids in Estonia, as well as doing stuff for adults. So, you know, we really think that's going to happen. It's going to be a big part of M61. We're all going as a big gang, if you want, and have like a holiday together. We're going to obviously try and keep it as cheap as possible. And it won't be that expensive. And if we book if we get early enough, these flights, they won't be massive. But I'm just giving you a bit of a heads up now that that's a very real possibility for the first week of the summer holidays. So for those of you who only get a few holidays or would like to do it, I know not everyone can, but if you want to and can be involved in that, you'll very muchly be involved in the ministry of that, of running small groups, of praying for people. There'll be lots of stuff, more than there is on a Route 61 weekend, obviously. There'll be all-day stuff. And then the vision is for the night stuff to be gospel and to do, you know, M61 stuff on the night around the same themes. So preaching the gospel, signs and wonders, reaping on a night. And then during the day, take a whole bunch of people through Route 61 to quite a depth because we've got all day. We can do a few sessions on each thing and we can, you know, we have you guys testifying and sharing and having lots of input in that. Sounds like a lot to organise, doesn't it? So it's a good job we're going to year to do it. But anyway, so that's just a little bit of another M61 thing that's worth you knowing. Okay, signs and wonders and moving in faith and that are very much to do with, you know, the same basics we learnt on the first week, which is hearing God and then having faith and taking action. That's what it is. That's all it is. So I'd just like to teach you in the next few minutes how to get words of knowledge. And I would like each of you to get a word of knowledge now, and I'll show you how. There are a few little bits to getting words of knowledge. Basically, it's this: openness, faith, reflection, and action, right? Openness, I open myself to the Holy Spirit. I consciously start to listen to God. Faith, I believe what I'm hearing. I take hold of it and I pull it down here. Reflection, I look at it and start to meditate on it and think about it and develop a prophetic word around it. Action, I find out who it's for and I give it to them. So why don't you just do this with your hands for a moment? This is a good way of remembering it. Openness, faith, reflection, action. Openness, faith, reflection, action. Each of those is important. Without the reflection, you end up with, well, they're not naff words, but they're very weak words. So someone gets up and says, I can see a bus. I don't know what it means. Do you know, they may have seen a bus, but it's very unhelpful in one sense, because you can just, with a bit of reflection and keeping faith and openness going, you can develop that. And it'd be much better to say, I've got a word for that guy over there with the moustache. I saw for you a red bus, and it had a number 24 on it. And I just believe the Lord's saying, you're on the wrong bus. And if you get off and get on that, in 24 months, your life's going to be turned around. Oh, how did he know? That's a sharp, powerful, prophetic word of knowledge. It's the same word as the bus, but you just haven't been through the four things. So openness. And you just make yourself open to God. So you say, Lord, I'm open to you today to get a word for someone. Or if it's a Sunday night service, you have a cup of coffee, you have a laugh with your pals, you come down, you sit down in the meeting, and you could just go, yeah, this is going to be good, let's see what happens. Or you could switch on, couldn't you? No way, I'm part of A61, I'm part of the ministry team of this church, I'm going to do something tonight. Yeah! Which is what we wanted to do. And switch on. Right, Lord, I'm open to you tonight. If you only use me, I'm open to be used. And here's the good news. God always wants to use you. So you say, right, I'm open to you, Lord. And once you do that, you just believe you are open. So you use your eyes and look around and you just, you know, you just notice anything you notice, anything you vaguely notice is the Lord. And you just need to believe that. That's faith. Okay, I'll have that. Coffee pot. I'll have a coffee pot. Thank you, Lord. Coffee pot. Right, then you do the reflection. Forget about who it's for a second. If you were giving a word about a coffee pot, Andy, what would you, might you say about a coffee pot? You see a picture of a coffee pot. What might you say? That's awesome. That's an awesome word, isn't it? That's called reflection. It's called meditating on a coffee pot. And all of this is to do with faith. And you might think, well, couldn't this just be me? Yeah, could be. But it probably isn't either. If you ask the Holy Spirit first, if you've switched on, then it isn't you. I was going to this meeting once, and I probably told you this one because I love this one. So forgive me if I've told you 25 times. Yeah. I have, sorry. I'm like, you're mouthing it with me, you've heard this that often. Anyway, and I'm driving along in the countryside, and I saw this, you know, those signs of a man on a horse, on a, it's like, beware of horse or something, you know, look out for horses or something. There's a man on a horse, be careful, horses. So I saw that thing about horse, and I'd already prayed in the car, Lord, I'm open to you. I'm going to go and give my testimony. I was doing that in a pub. I'm going to give my testimony tonight, but I want some signs and wonders as well. I want miracles and healings and signs and wonders and words of knowledge. I want to be prophetic. I don't know these people. It's a massive opportunity. So, Lord, I'm open to you. Please, Lord, show me anything you want. Drive along. Just a dark road, middle of the night, winter. My headlights hit this horse. Okay, that'll do. Horse. I think I was with someone. I was saying, horse, write down horse, horse. They wrote down horse. And then a load of other things. And then you get there. And, you know, you sat around this banquet. It was an FGB dinner. So you sat like a banquet, you know, and you're like getting married, but you're not. You sat at the top table. So you can see everyone. And they're all chatting away and eating Yorkshire puddings. And I'm like, focused. You can't just go with the flow if you want to minister. You've got to take it seriously. So I'm like, focused. Not my napkin. I'm writing horse. Right, horse. What about horses? Well, a horse goes a bit slower than a car. That's what I was thinking in the car. Goes a bit slower than a car. And it wouldn't be on the road because it's dangerous. It'd probably be on the grass, plumped along. And that's what horses do. They go a bit slower. But that'll do. That's a bit of reflection. A little bit of a word can develop out of that. Here's someone who's going a bit slower who's off the track. And then you always end encouraging, right? Prophecy is always encouraging. It says that in the Bible. Prophecy is used for our encouragement. So it's always positive. So, okay, well, how can that be positive? Well, he's going to come back on the track. There you are. There's a nice little prophetic word. Then you've got to ask who, well, then if you want to, you can go the next step, which is asking who it's for. So when you've got that word, you've opened, you've received something by faith, and you've reflected on it, now it's time for action. Action in lots of different ways. You can get up if you feel like, you know, your faith's at a certain place. You might want to just get up and say, I don't know who this is for tonight. And you know what? That's okay. But I just feel that someone here tonight, it's like a man and a horse. But I wanted to go a little bit further. It's that night. So I said, Lord, show me who this is for. And I saw this guy immediately. I just looking around and I just was aware of this guy. I thought, that guy. And then I've told you before this illustration. Flesh kicks in then. Your mind kicks in. The spirit is always faster than flesh. So what happens is the Lord shows you something, then your mind tells you a reason why not. So I see him and he says, and I think, horse, horse. Oh, he doesn't look like a horsey guy. Can't be him. And I go over and I see this girl, this young lass, in green wellies, right? It was the countryside. It was a country pub out in the middle of nowhere. She's in green wellies in a white little shirt. I thought, horse or what, you know? But I suppose I've learned the hard way over time. To try and to force myself, it's not easy. Force yourself to trust that first instinct. Trust that first instinct. So you go back, no, I'm going to stick with the fat bald guy at the back. And he doesn't look like he's ever seen a horse, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I said, you know this story, don't you? I said, I just see a man on a horse and all the people on his table start laughing. His surname was Horseman. right? He was called Frank Horseman. I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's God. And I just see, but the real awesome bit is the actual content of the word, the reflection bit, which was perfect for him. I said, you know, I just see a man on a horse, and he's off the road. He's off the fast track. He starts crying. His wife starts crying. And he's all going on the rough for a bit. It's rough going, but here's what God says to you to encourage you. That's only for a season. You're going to come back on the road, and you're going to come back up to speed. All his pals are crying. Everyone's praying for him. Awesome, awesome. So I thought, if anyone cries and you're given a prophetic word, it's a pretty good sign. You sort of think, whew, something's happening. But often they just look at you and go, I don't know, what are you talking about? Then they come to the end and go, that was spot on. Huh? But anyway, they do. And then he was a pastor who'd had a nervous breakdown. He'd had to step out of the ministry. Someone else was in his pulpit, if you like, leading his church. And he was just on the rough. God was saying to him, listen, Mr. Horseman, you'll come back. Don't worry. Just a season in your life. Prophecy is encouraging, isn't it? That's a sign and a wonder, especially when you do that with the lost. You can read their mail. You can tell them that uncover. Paul says, people come in their church. This is what the early church was like. He says, when people come in your church, the church in Corinth, when someone prophesies, the secrets of their heart are revealed. It's awesome, isn't it? That's what the early church is like. That's what we want our church to be like, Sunday nights particularly. We want the lost to come in here, and you guys and me and all of us to get up and prophesy and say, I've got a word for that lady over there. I just believe God loves you and he's saying this to you. It's like, whoa, God is in this place. And that opens them up and helps them to hear the gospel. Well, the gospel might have already been preached, might already be saved, but still need to know in a very personal way. It's so personal, isn't it? That God loves me enough to speak to me. It's awesome, isn't it? You know that feeling. And God speaks to you and think, that can only be God, that can only be God. It just undoes you. And you feel the amazing love of God. It's a sign and wonder. So here's what we'll do. So let's get open. So first, open. So why don't you just open your heart to the Holy Spirit now and ask him to give you a word. Holy Spirit, I want a word of knowledge for someone in this room. Forget about who it is for a minute. Just get the word first. The first thing you think of, and you can open your eyes and look around and get some thoughts as well. Use your eyes. Often prophets said, you know, were called seers because they saw things. They looked. And let God speak to them through what they saw as well as just listening. But your imagination is important as well. So if you've got something, put your hand up if you've got something now. You just saw something or you've got a thought. Just write it down. Just that thought, or draw a little picture if you're me. Anyone who's not got anything yet? Stick your hand up if you haven't got anything yet. Okay, let's just stay open. Stay open and don't feel pressure. Just stay open to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are open to you now, dear Lord. And we want to hear your encouraging, profound, prophetic word from you for someone in this room. So please, just speak to us now. And then just rest. Tune into God. Just look around. And just be aware of what you notice. Or where your mind's wandering. Or what's popping into your head. And then just write that down. People's minds and brains and spirits work in different ways. Some people think sort of logic thoughts through, and then they get something from that. Some people imagine something. So if I say to you, and the Holy Spirit uses that a lot with them. So if I say to you, can you see an apple in your mind's eye right now? Or here's a little scene. You're sat in a nice sunny room, the wind's blowing through the net curtains, and on the table to the right of you, there's a bowl of apples. There's two green and one red. Can you see them? Everyone see them? See that bowl of apples? You're not seeing it with your eyes. You're seeing it somewhere else. Okay, there's a bowl of apples there. There's a red one. Okay, make sure it's 3D for you and just like real. Just look at that bowl. Focus on that bowl of apples a minute. Reach out. Take hold of the red one. bring it to your mouth. It's covered in little drops of dew. It's so fresh and crunchy. Bring it to your mouth. Right, bite it. Is anyone's saliva moving? That's how real your imagination is. That's how real the spiritual seeing is. Your saliva starts to move. When you're praying for people who are sick, sometimes you feel something in your body. You feel a heat, you feel a hurt, you feel their pain where it is. Or you can feel the Holy Spirit in your mind and spirit about to do something in a meeting. And then he gives you the key to do it. And you have to do something or say something for this wave to hit a meeting. That's just the best. But it starts with you being aware of your spiritual eyes. And so has everyone got something? Yeah? Okay. Now we're just going to reflect on it. So take 5 minutes. We're going to reflect on that. If you were given that as a prophetic word, whatever it is, if it was an apple, okay, what could you say about an apple? You imagine yourself giving it as a prophetic word. What could you say about an apple? Just meditate on that. Sorry, not on your apple. Meditate on your word. I'll give you 5 minutes or 3 minutes or something. Have you got a word at the back, lads? Go for it. You're not off, you two. Have a listen. Tune in. Forget the tech. This is more important. Word of knowledge from both you guys, please. You're on A61. Just tune in. Have a think. Listen. Write it down. You've got all those buttons to get words about. Anyway. Can have a scripture connected to it if you want. It doesn't have to. It's just simple. So has everyone got a little thought, a few sentences or? Just give me a little wave if you need a bit more time. If you need more time, give me a wave, okay. 2 more minutes. We all getting there? Anyone need a bit more time for that? Just give me a little wave, don't worry, we can give you more time. Margaret needs more time. Been doing this for 30 years and she needs more time. But anyway. Better be a good word, that. Actually, I think these are going to be awesome words. I really do. Okay. While Margaret's finishing the sermon, look around the room. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, who's this for? Who is this for? Look around the room. He'll show you who it's for. Remember what I said about speed? Oh, if you need to look around the room, move, by the way. If you're sat in the front row, you can't see anyone. If you want to see, or if you know who it's for, it's awesome. Sometimes you just know who it's for anyway. But just look around the room. Who is it for? It's not a thinking exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. It's not, who could this be for? It's, Lord, show me who it's for. Oh. Lowry's going to go on with 30-odd words here. No. That's great. Has everyone got who... how shall I do this? Has anyone not got who it's for yet? Okay, just keep looking. Have a look around the room. If you need to move, just move. And just get a sense. Even if it's such a mild hunch that you think, oh, I just chose someone in the end, you'll be amazed you'll choose the right person. Because the Holy Spirit's in tune with your spirit, with your choices right now. And he's moving you to do the right thing. So he does. We're just unaware of it often. Just have a quick look around the room. He'll just show you it's for. Don't stress over it. Just pick someone. Awesome. Okay. So now, would you just, and you might need to take turns, or you will need to take turns, but you won't necessarily be the same people. find your person and deliver your word of knowledge, and that's all right. Just go to them and say, this is what I believe the Lord's saying for you. And we want to know the accuracy of it. If this is accurate for you, really let them know and tell them how it is. Is that okay? So Sam and Dan, you can come over here for this bit. Because someone might have words for you and you can have words for others. Oh yeah, go share it. Yeah, go share it. That's great. Thanks, brother. Oh, am I on? Oh, that's great. Guys, how are we doing then? Did everyone enjoy that tea and coffee break? No. Can someone get me one? A cup of tea, please. Thank you. That'd be awesome. Thank you, whoever's there. Did anyone not get a word? That would be terrible. Stella. Come here, Stella. We're going to get a word for you now. Margaret didn't get one. Margaret and Stella. Anyone else didn't get a word? I got 27. No, I'm only kidding. Did anyone get a word? I mean, a prophetic word for you. Okay, come and stand here, you three, and we're going to get words for you now. You didn't get one. Carl didn't get one. It's normal. This awesome.
You didn't get a word,
did anyone get a word for you, Paul?
No.
No, come. If you didn't get a word, Harry, come on. Just stand here. Okay, guys, let's just do it again. We're going to get a word for these guys to show you that this isn't a one-off thing either. You can get a word of knowledge. You can hear God whenever you want to, because God is always speaking. Did someone have a word for you? No, come forward. If you didn't receive a prophetic word for yourself, come and stand forward just so we can see you. So us guys are going to get a word for these. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the Lord who encourages us all. You speak to us all. And we ask you, Lord, just to... We open up now. We open up to you. And we're just open to you now. So. You can either look at them and get a word. Sometimes, this is how God gives me a prophetic word. I look at them. As I'm looking at a crowd of people, or just some people, the Holy Spirit says to me the same thing every time. What do you see? And I stop. And I look at that person and I ask myself the question, what do I see? And then I start to build a prophetic out of that. So what do I see? And then I start to... And remember, it's always encouraging. It's always encouraging. So even if you hear something negative, you max it out on encouragement. See what I mean? So you might see, sorry, I'm just helping, but keep, while I'm talking, keep hearing and getting a word and reflecting. Faith. Faith is the important bit. Because faith dares to say, yeah, that thought is a word. That's what makes it all work. Faith grabs that thought, that picture, that first impression. It's faith that activates the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's always up for it. What makes you up for it is faith. So there's something with the word about phone, I'm sure. I was saying something, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, so you always want to make it... So, for instance, you might see a picture of someone getting whacked with a stick. And you might think, oh, you know, they're going to get whacked with a stick. It's not a very nice word. But what you do is, in the reflection bit, you make it positive, right? So you see someone, you see a stick whacking them, or you see a stick whacking someone, then you think of it's far. But then in the reflection, you make it positive as you share it. So you go to them and you say something like, do you know what? I just believe the Holy Spirit is saying, you've been through a really hard time lately. It's as if you've just been getting beaten with one thing after another thing after another thing. And then always make it positive. It has to be positive to be God, to be the Holy Spirit. So you prophesy the end of that. That period of your life is coming to an end. And after a beating comes a loving. And after a... And you can get scriptures about it, you know. Even if that's come from God, you know. His hands wound, but they also heal. You know, everyone's disciplined, but he only disciplines those he loves. And God wants to know you to know his amazing love. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but afterwards. And you just prophesy the positive, the positive, the positive. It's okay. So you can see something negative, but it's got to be positive. You cannot go up to people and say, I've seen you getting beaten by a big stick. Good night. You know. I don't know. I don't really know what it means. I just see a stick beating you. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. You've got to get to the positive. Prophecies for encouragement and edification, building people up. It gives them courage. That's what prophecy does. If you're contemplating doing something for God, you're not sure whether you should do it. You're not sure whether you should do it. And someone comes up to you and prophesies about it. The Lord says, I'll be with you. I'm going to provide for you. You've got courage to obey him. That's what prophecy is for. It's to encourage you to do the right thing. So, has anyone got a word for Cal?
Yeah.
Awesome. Will you go and share it with him? Thank you. Has anyone got a word for Paul? Thank you, Chris. Has anyone got a word for Stella? Thank you, Lucy. Hey, you can have more than one. All three. Whoever's got a word for Stella, go to Stella. Someone got a word for, what's your name again? Terrier? Terrier? Yeah. Has someone got a word for Margaret? Thank you, Keena. Oh, anyone got a word for Sam? Sam's sat down here. Anyone got a word for Stacey? Thank you. Word for Chris. Anyone got a word for Chris? No one got a word for Chris yet? Right, I'll get a word for you, Chris. Anyone got a word for Harry? Harry. Let's look at Chris, those of us who sat down. Just look at Chris and ask the Lord for something for Chris. Go through the process, though, so it's not just human. We love Chris, let me just get a word for Chris. Make sure it's Holy Spirit. Have a look at Chris and just listen to the Lord. There you are. Anyone else got a word for Chris? Just come and share it if you have. Great. So have we got any questions about that before I move on to something else? The point is this. Larry, did you get a word? Awesome. Let's just do those things again, if you don't mind, just so you remember it. So there's opening up, openness, faith, reflection, action. Openness is just tuning in. Faith is believing that what you're seeing, what you're sensing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling is God. You dare get hold of something, a sentence, a scripture, a picture, a word, a sense. And then holding that in faith, you start to develop it into a prophetic word. You make sure it's positive. You figure it out to be positive. And then you take action. And the action can be just sharing it with a group. I don't know who it's for, but it's for somebody. And sharing it, or sharing it with an individual, which is far more helpful and powerful. And obviously, it's great to do it here because God's always speaking to us. And it's encouraging. A little bit of Vanderbilt's Band Sisters. But really, these are weapons as well as tools, you know, they're to demolish strongholds. And, you know, these are the signs of, you know, apostolic ministry, miracles, signs, wonders, and God being with us and stuff. And amen. Any questions before I move on to something quite different? No? Okay. Awesome. Yeah. What happened? I'll just answer one question that didn't get asked, but Sharon asked me it, which is, you know, she said she sort of had a sense of something for everyone and then for someone and then sort of remembered something back here. And, you know, and that can often happen. What happens is this, when you go open, right? Openness, it's like opening a drawer that's there in you all the time because God's always speaking to you. He's always giving you stuff, actually. It's like opening the drawer. And, oh, there's that as well. And there's that. Oh, and there's that. And, you know, focus and simplicity, I was saying to Sharon, is important. So you just keep it simple. and focus on what you're doing right then. Because actually that drawer, it goes on forever. You can open that. Once you've opened the sort of prophetic drawer, there's all sorts in there. And the more you look, the more you see. And the more you look, the more you see. So, and that's why a bit of discipline. That's why Paul said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You know, I've got to share this word. That's never true. You know, God might like you to share the word, but even if you don't get to share it, God's bigger than that. Don't worry. That's the truth. So always be in peace and be in control of your own. And sort of, if you can focus on what's happening. So what we're doing now. I think Heather said, what do you do if you get a word that's for you, if it's for yourself? And I said, well, if it's for yourself, that's awesome. That's just called hearing God. But right now, what we're doing is getting words of knowledge for people. So the Holy Spirit knows that. So even if what you've got relates to you, it's also for someone else in this room. Keep going with it. Look for who it's for. Look for who it's for. Because the Holy Spirit's the spirit of order, and he does what he's doing at the time. But when you start to open the prophetic drawer, you can just get loads. So you can prophesy all over us, and you prophesy for the future, and prophesy, you can remember something of the past, a few scriptures, and that's real openness, actually. But with that openness, have the faith to just pick the thing out that God is saying, and keep it simple. Meditate on it and develop it, but keep it there. Don't make it into a sermon. Don't overdevelop it. Don't overcook it. Simple is awesome and sharp. And that's the best way when you bring in words of knowledge. And prophetic on a Sunday, actually. It's great. Well done, guys, who got up on Sunday. And, you know, we'll keep working it together with worship. And it's never easy, the balance between leading worship, someone sort of hosting the meeting, prophetic people jumping up, which is we want, and then keeping the flow of things and knowing when that's happening. It's never easy, but you know what? It's awesome. Messy church, that'll do. Should we just have a look at these notes? There's two sets of notes. We'll do a little bit of teaching, then we'll do another activation to do with something else, to do with ministry. Those notes, there's two sets of notes. The one we're doing tonight is called Healing in the Kingdom. And the other ones are actually from last week, so you can just keep them in your things. Bro, is there a PowerPoint there? Is there a screen? I think there's just one screen I'd like to show you. I'd just like to show you this screen, which sort of illustrates... Oh, 1 second, so I can keep it there. Paul, did you want to share that thing? Is that help? Come and share that thing, yeah. What made me think of that is there an illustration like this in that book as well?
There is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Yeah, go for it. Do you want this?
Nah.
Sure, okay.
So just, do you know what I felt good saying today?
Brilliant. Thanks, Paul. It's a fantastic book. That's awesome. And I think an illustration like this is in that book. And I think an illustration like this is in Questions of Life, Nicky Gumbel's thing. Can I just use a little stick and point some things to you? I'll use your drums, if that's right, Cal. It might look a bit complicated, and it does look a bit complicated. But basically, just meant to show you, out of what I'm going to speak tonight, this is sort of a backdrop to it. Just to show where we are now in terms of the kingdom of God is significant. It answers the question to a lot of issues for us. Why there's waves of revival and they peter out. Why there's some people get healed quickly, some people get healed slowly, some people don't get healed. Some people live, some people die, some people are resurrected, some people aren't. It's a mixture. Sometimes we're very successful in evangelism, sometimes no one's interested, sometimes it's a mixture. That's because it's a mixture of time. It's not, the kingdom hasn't fully come. That blue line represents, the life of God. Kingdom of God starts there in the Garden of Eden, in paradise. And obviously our end, is going to be in paradise too. This sort of red line represents the life of man, the sinful life of man. It's fallen away from God. And then throughout this period of time, I could have put loads of stuff in here, but it just gets complicated. But this is obviously the Old Testament period, okay? When God is speaking, when man's reaching out to God, but actually, the law can't save anyone ultimately. And it's all coming towards this point, the coming of Messiah. The white arrows are all Jesus, okay? This represents Jesus, the life of God, coming to earth in the incarnation. Jesus is born, and now, with him, actually, he brings the kingdom of God. This is, the Gospels are full of this, because he is the king. So where he is, that's where the kingdom is. He's the king, and he's brought the kingdom of heaven to earth. Does that mean there's no heaven? No, there's still heaven. But he's the representative of heaven. He's the king on the earth. And that's how he spoke all the time. Jesus preached about the kingdom more than anything almost. You have a look through the Gospel of Luke. It's the kingdom this, the kingdom that, the kingdom. You think, what's he talking about? It's the kingdom of heaven. Come with him. Okay, and Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. And then through, you know, he's baptized. He starts to minister and all that. Powerfully bringing the kingdom. Now there's these two lines running together. Two tracks running together. The kingdom of God is at hand. Very close. Jesus dies on the cross. Is buried, rises again, goes up, back up into heaven physically. Jesus, where's Jesus tonight? He's in heaven. You know, he was speaking to us tonight, but he's in heaven. That's where his physical body is. Jesus is a man. He's got a physical body that was hung on a cross. He's still wearing it because it's him. He's got nail marks in his hand, and he sat tonight, right now, 2013, at the right hand of the Father. He's our Saviour. He's totally connected to us by his Holy Spirit. But that is where he physically is, right? He is in heaven now, interceding for us. We have a great high priest in heaven up there. So I can't reach it with this drumstick. But he's praying for us, and he's pouring out his Holy Spirit in great waves of revival and power and kingdom activity is breaking out. The life of Jesus, once Jesus went back into heaven, the apostles were carrying his life. They were born again. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right now, there are these two tracks running together, right up to the, you know, Paul calls this age, this present evil age, right? This present evil age, where man is in rebellion to God, has a sell-by date. It's going to end. It's going to end. Life as we know it is not going to continue. And the Bible is ultra clear. I don't have time to go into detail now, but you know what? You know this already. That there is, towards the coming return of Jesus, there are two things happening at the same time. And there are two waves rising, two mountains rising in the earth. One is totally evil. People go from bad to worse. Tyrants rule countries and destroy. And though those waves go up in peaks, you know, and the prophets saw them and prophesied those peaks. Sometimes they saw those peaks together. The prophets did. That's right. You know, you read Isaiah, you think, is he speaking about now? Or is he speaking about Jesus? Or is he speaking about the end of the world? Yeah. All three, actually. And you've got to pick out which sentences are which, if you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit. But they saw those peaks of evil. There are also peaks of God and glory. You know, Isaiah says, in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to grow and take over the earth. It's going to be the biggest thing on earth. All the nations are going to stream to it. That's like a massive end time revival. Obviously, you know we believe that. We also believe that there's massive end time evil. These two things are coming towards massive climaxes. There's huge revivals and there's huge waves of evil. A lot of people said, was Hitler Antichrist? At the time, the church, lots of the church thought, he's got to be the Antichrist. You know what? He was. John says there's many Antichrists gone out into the world. And there are forces of evil that rise in seemingly overwhelming power. The way you think they're winning. They're overcoming. You know, some nations, the church almost gets stamped out. Certain African nations, communism and Islam, I've almost wiped the church out in the past 100 years. And yet, a remnant have been saved and come back. And then there's a sweeping revival. And millions come into the kingdom of God. And it goes right up to another massive Jesus peak. And the whole nation almost turns to God. And it's Jesus everywhere. It's Jesus at breakfast, dinner and tea. And it's Christian City. And it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome, awesome. And then an evil comes in. A dictator, a tyrant, war breaks out with the neighbouring country. Whoosh, there's evil comes back. That's what it's like. That's what your life's like. That's what it's like living in this present evil age. There are both these things going full whack at the same time. Your blessing and mine is that we've stepped into this. And we live here. That's why life's got better lately, since you came to Jesus. Are you still affected by this? Of course you are. You live in it. So, you know, the remnants of it are within us. Our sinful nature. We have to put it to death and overcome. There's things for us to overcome. There's challenges, there's sufferings, there's hard work. But it's also glorious and awesome and beautiful. And we can love each other. We can also hurt each other. We can forgive each other. And we can also fail each other. It's a mixture. And you are here. This is our back. And we don't know where. You know what? You might be right here. Jesus might be coming back next week, for all I know. We don't know the date. And Jesus said, don't get hung up on the date. But he said to the apostles, none of your business, frankly. What are you going to do with Israel? When are you going to restore Israel? Actually, it's none of your business. Your business, buddies, is to be witnesses to everyone. You preach the gospel. That's your business. What I do with Israel and the nations, what my father does with Israel, it always amazes me that many people are hyper into wanting to know what Jesus said was none of their business. He says, it's not your business to know what's happening in the nations and the seasons and the times. The Father set by his own authority. You will be clothed with power from on high. You'll be witnesses. You just get filled with the Holy Spirit and get preaching. That's your job. And that's how, as far as I'm concerned, that's our job. So anyway, you know what? You can see signs of the times, but let's not get hyper about it. The truth is we don't know. It might be 1,000 years before Jesus comes back. What are we going to do? Lie back and die? Or have revival? Let's ride a massive wave. Let's have a big Jesus peak and see Europe become Christian city again, if God, you know, helps us and wills it. But anyway, these represent massive outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to come back again, judge the judgment, and there'll be a resurrection of the dead, where there'll be the full and final judgment. You know, everybody up. No one's got away with anything, and so on. Take us back to be with him. Heaven will come with him, you know, and we'll go to heaven and la-di-da, awesome. Paradise, which means garden. That's what the word means. It's a word taken from the Persian kings, actually, who had private walled gardens. That's what the word means. Some of you know Spanish. Para is wall. Dice is garden. It's a walled garden. Guess what? When we were created, God put us in a walled, secure, beautiful garden called Eden. And it's awesome, awesome that we're going back. We're going back into that garden. When a Christian dies, they go into the garden. Is that awesome? Jesus said to that thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in my private walled garden. Those gardens are private. They're not a park. They're not a wilderness. You can't just walk in. There's a gate. Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the door. And that's our future. Man, that is so important when it comes to healing. And when healing doesn't work. And sometimes it doesn't work for us. Some of us might suffer all the way through. I don't know. Some of us might go through different things. Some of us might just get awesomely healed. That's what we believe for and push for. But let's look at these notes. So anyway, in terms of the kingdom, Jesus often spoke to them, spoke about signs. Signs and wonders. That's what that Psalm says. That's what Jeremiah says. That's what John Gospel says about Jesus. Let's look at that Matthew 10, 1 verse 7. It's an interesting one for us, for evangelism and doing signs and wonders and healing people. John 10, verse 7. Oh, sorry, Matthew 10, verse 7. Says, as you go, he's sending out the 12 or the 72? 12. And he says to them, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. That line is near the other line. It's near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't take along any money in your belts. Take no bag for your journey. Don't take extra clothes or shoes or staff. No extras. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town and village you enter, stay with someone who's worthy there. Don't, as you enter his house, give it your peace. And if the home is deserving, your peace will rest on it. If it's not, your peace will return to you. It's an interesting verse. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it'll be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Do you know what? It's just detail. He goes on. I'm sending you out as well. It's awesome. Read it yourselves. But here's the point. He said to them, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, do signs, wonders, miracles, and preach this. Which is different to the message that they preach after Pentecost, actually. Because the cross hadn't happened. But preach this. The kingdom of heaven is near. And that's what signs and wonders are about. They are signs to point the way to Jesus. And they are wonders to make people wonder. Just have awe and wow about God. You know, I've often said about this. Me and Margaret were at this Bill Johnson healing conference. Or leadership conference, something. A couple of years ago. Harrogate, and we had these badges, you know, these things they put around your neck. One side said, and the other thing said, new wine and healing, something, healing conference. And it was lunchtime, we had to go to the bank. We went to the bank, we sort of forgot to take our little things off. So we walked along with these things on, healing conference. We went to the bank. Hey? Oh, was it the post office? Do you want to tell us? You're welcome. You'll tell us. If I get it wrong, please keep me right. Was it the post office? Oh, that's amazing. I always thought it was a bank in my mind. And we went to the post office and we stood up, lots of people queuing up to these counters. And when we got up to the counter, this woman said to us, What's that? What type of healing conference are you in? And we said, well, we're Christians and, you know, we didn't realize we were in it. We're Christians and we're, you know, Jesus heals and we've been at this conference over there. It's awesome. Actually, loads of people getting healed and stuff happening. It's brilliant. And she said, what time does it start tonight? My friend's got cancer. And she started crying at the window. I'd love it if I could get her there. She works here and she's got cancer and she's dying. And, you know, do you think God could heal her? We said, yeah, we think God could heal her. But it's up to him. But you know what? You could bring her. She would have let you in. And but what if she can't make it? Well, we could pray for her. That's fantastic. God heals people. It's a fantastic. Hang on a minute. Harry, haven't you got a bad back? There's a big queue of people waiting behind us, going, getting knocked. She starts shouting the other bloke. He said, yeah, these people are healing people in the name of Jesus. He got off his chair, left his booth, walks along, said, yeah, I've had a bad back for ages. And we have this massive talk with him, her, a load of other people. We're all listening. No one's getting served. It was awesome. You know, it made me think, should we wear a little healing badge every day? Because somehow, that little healing badge said to them, now you know what, no one got saved there, but the kingdom of God had come near them, because we come near. And often, you know, people can't deny the nearness of God when there's a miracle. They like to deny the reality of God. They deny that, you know, you're a Christian in the office, but you're a joke, you're irrelevant, you're a churchgoer, and you're a hypocrite, look, you know, and you fail, and you're ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, till someone gets healed. Till there's an undeniable miracle in that office. Then no one's laughing, and everyone's pleasantly disturbed. You want them disturbed. In these towns, they didn't preach the gospel, actually. They preached the kingdom, but they preached that the kingdom of God was near, and what was proof was that someone in every family was affected by what happened in those little towns and villages. If they cleansed a couple of lepers and healed a couple of people, I assure you that'll affect the whole community. You don't have to actually be the one healed. You just have to know someone who's been healed, or know someone who knows someone, and know that they're credible. That's what healing does. Healing and miracles push through people's intellectual resistance to God, and they just, it just affects them. Sometimes you just need to pray for them to be healed. Sometimes you just, oh, I don't know, I haven't got all the answers, I don't know, can I pray for you? And let them feel the power of God. And whoa, what was that? Oh, I do feel a bit different, actually. Or they just melt and, oh, thanks for that. They were totally anti 5 minutes ago. They just melted. They've become one step closer to getting saved, actually. It's like that. You know, I often speak about, you know, the kingdom of ice cream comes near you when the ice cream van comes. We can be sat in our house not thinking of ice cream. Not interested in ice cream. Watching a movie, all the kids nice and settled on a Sunday afternoon. Not that ever happens these days, but anyway, used to when they're all little. We're all watching a film on Sunday afternoon, and all sat, and then the ice cream van comes down our road on a summer afternoon. Ding, 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 ding. All the kids, can we have an ice cream? And we have to make a decision then. We're either going for the kingdom of ice cream or not. If it's not, it's a conscious decision. No, we've got no change. And to buy you lot ice creams takes about 25 quid. So sit down. We are not doing ice creams today. Sit down. Just ignore it. Okay. Turn up, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Right? That's a conscious decision. Now, this has got a purpose, this illustration. I'll show you. Or the other thing is this. Yeah. We do want an ice cream. Margaret, go and get some change. Everyone open your purses. Empty your piggy banks. Quick, get through the door and make sure he doesn't drive off. That's the decision. But what made me make that decision? Well, the kingdom of ice cream had come near and I could do nothing about it. This is what happens when someone gets healed in the office or in a family. He's Uncle John. He's not interested in God. He's not interested. Yeah, but have you heard what's happened to Auntie Flo? Now, he knows Auntie Flo and he knows she can't walk without sticks, right? He knows it because he's grown up with her. It's a fact in his head and life, because it is a fact. Have you heard what's happened to Auntie Flo? No. She went to church and someone prayed for her and she's dropped her sticks and she's running around. She's completely healed. Right? Can you see how that's got to affect him? It's got to affect him. He has to make even a subconscious decision. Is there something in this? Shall I pursue it? Shall I look for change? Shall I talk to Auntie Flo? Shall I go to church? Could I get healed? There's 1,001 things going off. Why? He didn't give two hoots about God, church, anything 5 minutes ago. What's happened is ding, 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 ding. That's what miracles do. Signs. London, 50 miles. Want to go? That's the way. It's not London, but it's a sign. You get healed even. You're still not saved. But it's a sign. Go get saved now. Get to Jesus. Get saved. If you just get healed, obviously it's not enough. But the point is, signs and wonders, miracles, healings, they're powerful in terms of affecting people. Or he could make a decision. Nah, I'm not interested. I'm not looking into it. I'm definitely not. That's okay, buddy. That's your choice. But we've forced the choice. The kingdom has come near you and made you consider yea or nay for God. That will come back to you on the day of judgment. God help him when he stands before the Lord and the Lord says, do you remember? And he says, but I never knew. And God says, Auntie Flo, you chose that day to reject my kingdom. And he'll know, yeah, that's justice. I did. Because that's that. The kingdom, miracles, healing, the Holy Spirit, supernatural things expose people's hearts. They expose their hearts to what is really in there. Will you be saved or not? It's just so powerful. Okay, what happens when you pray? There's three possibilities. Number one, people get healed. That's the best one. Okay, we've said last time about how that happens. Next week, we're going to look at exactly how God heals people and how you can be involved in that. But basically, that's that scripture about the children's bread. Faith is the children's bread, and you're just to go and get it. It's on the table for you. It's on the table for your children, for your family, for your relatives. You're at the table. Take the bread where you want and heal who you will and pray for them with faith and confidence, and you will see miracles. You will see miracles if you pray for people. And the more you pray for people, guess what? It's just maths. The more you'll see. It's not just maths, actually. It's partly maths. But what happens is, as you see people healed, you get more faith. So you see more people healed, and you get more confidence, and you see more people healed, and you're a little bit more devastated when they're not healed, but you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, you see more and more miracles, and you fully expect people just to get healed, because you pray for so many people, you know, and you've seen so many things. You know, we pray for so many people, for instance, personally, who've been barren, not been able to have children, prayed for so many people who've then had children supernaturally, that it's just a faith for us. I find it very difficult to believe it won't happen. I sort of have anti-faith about it. You know, oh, well, don't worry, you don't have to pray again. Look, I know it's painful. I know you might not want to talk about it, but can we pray again? Because I think something's going to happen if you just persevere with this a bit. Let's pray again. Let's pray again, baby. Miracle. Total miracle. We've known people who've had children who've had no wounds. Who've had everything taken away. God can do what he likes. God created man like that. Breathed in him. God just does what he wants. God's the giver of life. God decides. And that's true of any healing or miracle. He can do anything. But faith is the ingredient. And you know, healing is the children's bread. So just go and get it. Me and Stuart were in a church in Stockton doing a weekend of gospel stuff and healing a little while ago. Well, a little while ago. It's probably ages ago. But anyway, when you get to my age, everything's a little while ago. But he was there. We were there. And there was a woman who came in. And this just illustrates, you know, you get faith for what you come for. And she came forward on sticks like that little old woman and sat on the front row. It was quite high. It was an old church. It was quite a high pulpit. And I was stood in the front row. And the meetings were quite powerful, actually. It's about a third meeting. It was like warming up. About the third meeting of the weekend, it was getting really awesome. And more people were coming. There was like a few people on the Friday night, and then more people on the Saturday day. The more people on the Saturday night, and it was getting exciting, you know. And I was on the front row, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm going to heal people's eyes now. It was very clear. So I thought, right, you've got to interrupt the meeting then. You've got to, especially if you're leading it anyway. So I sort of interrupted the worship and said, I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to heal people's eyes now. Anyone with bad eyes, will you just put your hand up? And lots of people put their hands up. And this woman on the front row, I mean, she had jam jar glasses, jam jar, really thick, and a little old lady, bless her. And I thought, she can't have heard me. I said, stand up. She didn't stand up. I said, we're healing eyes, dear. I said, eyes. God's going to heal people's eyes. She said, I've come for me knees. I thought, okay then. So, and you know what? She was totally healed in her knees. She left that night without her sticks. She was completely healed. Because you know what? That's what faith does. I've come for me knees. God hears that. Oh, have you love? Good. Bang. Her knees were healed. Even while he was doing eyes, he can do two at once apparently. But, you know, faith is interesting, isn't it? It's the children's bread. She was a Christian. I don't know how long she'd had bad knees. But there was faith in the room. It was building up. People were getting healed. She had a bit of faith. She spoke it out. God heals her. All right. She walked out with those glasses on. Because you get what you come for. I've come for my knees. Okay, love. You might be able to get your eyes done as well. But if you've come for your knees, you've come for your knees. So every time you come to church, what are you coming for? You know, come to the table of the Lord. You don't just come to church. I mean, you can, actually. It's great fun seeing each other, isn't it, now? Well, I love it. I just love seeing people. Yay! Was there a God bit as well? But anyway, you've got to get into the God bit, haven't you? Sometimes you like think, oh, come on. God's here. Something's going to happen. I'm not just going to sing a few songs and have communion. I can be healed at communion. I can be delivered at communion. I can be blasted across the floor at communion. And anywhere else, you know, Holy Spirit can just pour out upon us and anything can happen. That when a few of us have that expectation, at any time we gather, it just helps. Because the more faith, the more openness, the more stuff happens. God loves faith. He just flows with it. It opens all the floodgates. So the first thing that happens is, look, people get healed. Second thing that can happen is people don't get healed and people die. Okay, people can, in the end, we're all going to die. And I heard in the groups, and I know some of you said in the groups, You know, one of the reasons you don't pray for people is disappointment. You prayed for people who died. Carolyn, are you happy to share a bit of your testimony? How about your mum? Is that all right? Just as Carolyn's coming up, the thing is, and the thing is to remember, oh, that's not on there anymore, but anyway, to remember the big picture. Even though you have to go through the emotions of the devastation, the truth is, well, we'll talk about the deal in a minute. Have you got, I don't think you've got anywhere to put this, have you? Any glasses?
No, I want healing in them.
So put it on there.
Five years ago, my mum was diagnosed with terminally ill cancer. And when she found out, she wasn't having anyone say that God wasn't going to heal her. So at the time, if I'm being totally honest, I probably didn't believe myself, actually, that she was going to be healed, because cancer to me, people I'd prayed with cancer hadn't been healed. We went on a journey anyway, and I had when she told me, I got the word anoint, and I got the, and it was all over, and it didn't really make sense. There were the two things, anoint with oil and all over, really. And then a couple of days after that, I got a phone call off a lady in the church who said she'd had a dream and she wanted to talk to me and my mum about it. When she got us together, in the dream, she'd seen me anointing my mum with oil from head to toe, and a group of ladies somewhere else praying for healing. So it kind of tied in with the two things that I had. We went in the leadership and they okayed us to do it. So over a period of 7 weeks, I met my mum on my own in her home, and I anointed her with oil from head to toe, prayed over and asked God to heal her. And in faith, I was asking that. And the other ladies were praying for her to be healed in another home. And then we all met together. We all prayed over her. And we did that for 7 weeks. We just sat in the dream. The lady had seven as well. So that's what we felt the relevance of the seven was. So at the end of the 7 weeks, we stopped. And in hindsight, I believe that we should have carried that on. But that's a bigger long story. But anyway. And then she started to improve, actually. Her facial appearance and everything changed. She wanted to have more tests done, but they wouldn't allow her to have tests because doctors, when she said, that's it, they won't pay for more tests and things like that. So, and then we went away and we went to America. It was when the Lakeland revival stuff was going on, sort of the back end of that. And when me and Mam were there, it was a whole load of sort of amazing teachers and preachers out there. Todd Bentley wasn't there at the time. She went out, she got prayed for, came back, was totally convinced that she'd been healed. And then into the Christmas, suddenly became really ill. And then she died the following February. I never questioned God. I never once questioned God. Why did you take her away when she had so much faith to believe she was going to be healed? We did what we did and all that stuff. But I remember sort of into that year just saying to God, I don't question you, but one day I'd love to know what the relevance of what we did was all about, why we did that. And then it was the very first Route 61 in the second session on healing. It was on about the power of the Holy Spirit, actually. And Martin was talking about where Moses anoints Aaron into his priestly role. And God just really spoke to me in that and carried on over a couple of days, really, how what we did, we prepared my mum for when she met Christ. You know, what we did, we anointed her with oil. And when you read the details in Exodus of, like, what Moses did and what Aaron had to do to sort of prepare him to be in the presence of God, God just kind of said, what you did is you prepared your mum, you anointed her, you purified her before me. You prepared her and you made her ready to come before me. which was quite amazing and quite powerful. But and then when we went to Lakeland, she went out for prayer this one time, and this guy must have spent about 2 hours praying with her and took her on a journey of her life, really. And she did Route 61 in 2 hours, bless her. And just took her through all the hurts in her life and just broke them, and she forgave. And some of the things, like, she shared with me that this guy, that sort of the journey she taught. So when she met God, you know, she was so ready. You know, she didn't have her baggage. She didn't have all her, you know, the pains and stuff like that. So for me, although God didn't heal my mum physically, I helped prepare her, you know, for when she met Christ and the journey she went on. So I don't think I was going to be able to say that tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn. Bless you for sharing something like that. That's awesome. Could you stick that slide up again, please, Dan? You see, the point is this. Do you know what? Is there some mystery in that? Yeah, there is. Is there a few unanswered questions? Yeah, there is a few. But do you know what? I think when it comes, you know, like Carolyn said, she didn't question God, meaning she didn't question the goodness of God. Guys, we don't question the goodness of God, do you understand? And what might help you is because it's just daft to question it. It's immaturity and foolishness to question it, and shows that where our relationship with him is. You know, bad stuff happens to good people, and we're all going to die, right? Unless Jesus comes back and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, which the Apostle Paul hoped he would about, you know, 1,800 years ago or something. Oh, no, more? 2,000 years ago, nearly. I don't know, I'm not very good at maths, but a long time ago. The point is this. Our ultimate good isn't getting healed here. It's getting there. It's this. It's getting resurrected from the dead. That is our ultimate goal for everyone who's a believer. Our ultimate goal for everyone who isn't a believer isn't that they'll be healed and taken out of pain. It's to be taken out of hell. It's that they be saved. Our focus and goal for unbelievers is that they cross over onto our line, get on the blue line that's going to last forever. Step into eternal life with us because the other line's ending. Right? That's our good. The perfect good for us is resurrection. It's resurrection from the dead. We're all going to be there with Carolyn's mum. Together at the same, we're all going to wake up the same time. Wake up, it's Resurrection Sunday, or wherever the day is going to be. And we're all going to get out of our graves, wherever we're buried, you know, even if we're at the bottom of the sea. All the little, he says in Revelation, he speaks to the sea, give up your dead. Wherever your particles are, God can do it. Pull them all back together. Resurrection life. You're back for eternal life with Jesus, with a new body. It's going to last forever. I mean, this isn't Disney. You are going to experience this, and I am. This is our total understanding of healing and supernatural. How healing, you know, getting people healed of a bad back or cancer is just, do you know what? How old was your mum, Carolyn, when she died? 58. That's really young, isn't it? Right, so if your mum got healed, which is very possible, and she lived till she was 68, and then she got cancer, would you still pray for healing? Yep, you would, because she's your mum and we believe in healing and it's all things good. Okay, 78, would you pray for healing? Yeah, because we believe in healing and God's good and he can do anything. 88, would you pray for healing? You know what, if it was me, probably if it was you, yeah, I'd pray for healing. But ultimately, guys, what do we want? She's 148 and we're still praying for healing. Oh, come on. Reality of God here. We are going to die some days. And I find it a little bit unusual, frankly. I'm not trying to be not compassionate to people, but sometimes I find it a little bit unusual when people... I mean, I understand grief, okay? You know, my mum died when she was 52. I get it. But I just think when people's parents are like in the 70s and 80s and sometimes 90s, and they die, and that Christian says, why did God take her? I sort of think, eh? What? I mean, when I'm 80, I will want to die, won't you?
Please don't keep bringing me back.
I'm shattered, and I'm going somewhere. I'm going through that garden gate. I was in Spain last year, and the Holy Spirit woke me up on a morning, and the Holy Spirit, for the first time in my life, spoke a poem into my ear. I mean, it was audible. It woke me up. It was the most awesome, one of the most awesome times of my life. And this is what he said. There is a garden famous, as green as it is long. The garden is clean, the garden is pure, and its walls are strong. Is that awesome? Absolutely awesome. But, you know, that's where I'm headed, to you. And if you find the garden's gate, do not hurry past. For though the garden's gate is small, it is in fact its last. I found the gate when I was 17. It's Jesus. I've been knocking around in the light that shines through that gate for 30 odd years. Some of you have. Some of you have been knocking around 15 years. I play outside that gate. I pray outside that gate. I go, in one sense, I go in and out that gate through prayer, right into my Father's presence through prayer, not physically. Paul said, I've been there many times. Actually, Paul said so awesomely that I don't know whether it's physically or spiritually. I don't know, but who cares? I've been there. Right? We go into the presence of God in worship. On a Sunday, we together walk through that gate, go through Jesus in the presence of God, by faith, spiritually, right? And physically, I live on this side of the gate with you. I want you to knock around this gate. We go into the darkness to drag people out, to bring them to the gate, to point them to the gate, play around that gate. We warn them about the walls. It's a private garden. You've got to come on. I'm looking forward to dying, aren't you? I'm looking forward to going through that gate. For a Christian, there's no such thing as death. You just change your dress. You just live somewhere else, somewhere better. I mean, guys, we either believe that or we don't. If we don't believe that, it's like the ABCs. Now, no one's looking forward to the process of dying. Paul says, and the scripture's there for you to read yourself because we're in the time. Paul says, the body is sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown imperishable and it's raised eternal. It's like, it's not nice physically dying. Apparently, you've never done it. But, you know, you get ill and weak and then you sort of stop. You stop breathing, your heart stops beating. You know, there's a downhill. It can be instant. It can be really fast. It can be in a car accident. It can be in your sleep. It can be in a hospital bed with a beep, 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 beep next to you. But at the end of the day, for a Christian, does it really matter? Does it really matter if all it is physically doing what we do every Sunday spiritually and doing what I do every morning with Margaret spiritually, is entering into the presence of God? That's where we live. That's what death is. Now, knowing that should affect how we pray for the sick and should affect, lift the heaviness of mystery and trouble and suffering and all the rest. Do you think the Apostle Paul was good at healing people? I reckon he was pretty awesome to you. They said that he was so anointed and full of power. It says, never mind they said, it says, the Bible says, that people would take his aprons and his handkerchiefs and just run off with them and nick them and throw them at me, or touch people with them and boom, they'd be healed just from his hankies. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, did you know he had an illness? That he had to live with. That he speaks about pretty clearly. He speaks about his eyes being so bad that one of the churches came and he said, he was so full of compassion for me, he would have given me your own eyes if he could. Is there a mystery here? Not really. It's just this, isn't it? Timothy, Paul's disciple, who was in charge of the church in Ephesus with an estimated, well, the thing, they'd know it was between 30 and 80,000 members, right? It's a pretty big church. And this lad's 30. That's really young. He took over from the Apostle Paul. And in his letter, Paul sends his letter to young Timothy and says, Timothy, take some wine for your pooly stomach. Stop drinking just water. drink a little bit of wine. That's nice for those of us who like wine, isn't it? But anyway, a little bit, he said, a little bit. Take a little bit of wine for your stomach, because apparently Timothy had a bad stomach. In another passage, Paul says, thanks for praying for Epaphroditus. He was so ill, we thought he was going to die. In fact, we thought we'd lost him. But God spared us that grief, and he's raised him up from his sickbed. Now, here's the question. Do you think Paul would have prayed for Timothy to be healed? That's pretty, I mean, it's just a guess. It doesn't say, but I think you can take it as read that Paul would have prayed for Timothy to be healed of that stomach ailment. Okay. Right. He didn't get healed. Paul apparently isn't that worried about it. He's just rolling on with the gospel and the kingdom and church planting, casting out demons, healing people. Timothy's still sick. Oh, take a bit of wine. Isn't he? That's what we've got to do. We just roll on. We pray for you. Oh, I don't think I've been healed. Oh, bless you. Oh, we'll keep praying. Keep praying. We'll come over here and pray for this person. Bang, they're healed. I don't know. It's a total mystery. The Apostle Paul had a problem with his eyes. He says it was a messenger of Satan sent to him, allowed to afflict him, to pull him down from being too elated all the time. Paul must have been buzzing from these revelations and going to heaven and stuff so much. God must have thought, oh no, you can't be that elated all the time. But it's not good for you. Puppy dogs, nip him. You know, I don't know, do something to just pull him down a bit. He's human, help him remember that. I got power, I got glory, but I'm a terrible bad back at the minute. Listen, we're humans, aren't we? We can move in tremendous power. People think, oh, they're so awesome. Yeah, but he's sick as a dog. I've been in India vomiting on the way to a meeting. And I get to the meeting and, like, glory of God and the demons are coming out and awesome things happening. I'm a lizard dog. Bit of getting healed. Bang, 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 bang. I don't know. Oh, could you heal me as well? Nah. Get on with it, Rudy. I mean, it's true. We're human beings. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Paul prayed 3 times to be delivered from it. I don't think that was like 3 little prayers. I think that was probably 3 specific, serious, I'm seeking God. I've had enough of this problem in my life. 3 times God said, no. And in the end, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Because my power is made perfect in weakness. Your weakness is no problem to me, Paul. You stay weak, buddy. Now, just throw this in the mix of your heart and mind and understanding. That's all. All I'm saying is, if you pray for someone and they don't get healed, no big deal. Just pray for them again. As though they were healed. You know, as though the last person was healed. Just keep going. And keep going. Don't let it challenge your faith. And, where's God? I don't understand all this. Oh, come on. Let's grow up a bit. And not, God is always good. Okay? Always good. We are going to heaven as a gift we can't lose. Right? From that position of total strength. Now get filled with fire and cast out every demon you can. And grow in faith so you can cast out more. And grow in faith so you can heal more. And do as many miracles as you can for as long as you live. Do as much good as you can to as many people as you can for as long as you can. And you know what? I think that's the kingdom of God. I think that's how it works. Sometimes people stay sick. But you know what? You just got to keep going. And sometimes after a bit of time, people get healed sometimes. It's true. In that same meeting as that woman with the... They've got healed of the knees. There was a guy who came in totally deaf and walked out totally hearing. And just in Stockton, with just little me and Stu, doing a gospel weekend. It happened over the whole weekend. He came in deaf on Friday night. And in faith, he kept taking his hearing aids, his whatever he had, out to try and hear. And by the end of Friday night, he could hear something. He'd like a buzz or something. And on Friday morning, he could hear a bit more. Saturday morning, he could hear a bit more. Saturday night, he could hear more. Sunday night, he came to the front, absolutely, totally healed. He didn't need any aids or anything. He was completely healed. And sometimes it just takes a bit of time in the presence of God, in the presence of God, in the presence of God. continuing in faith, not taking no for an answer, not letting defeat defeat you, but just overcoming it. You don't have to go into denial either. You know, oh no, you're well, and all that. You have to say, well, you know what, I don't know, but I know God's good. Let's keep going. Let's do what we can. Let's get someone else to pray for you, eh? Oh, this guy's visiting. He's meant to be awesome. Go on, let's get it. Just look for those faith opportunities. God bless you. That was a long night, wasn't it? Should we pray? Well done. Well done. Do you know what? I've got something else to do that would take 10 minutes. Do you think you're up for it, or is that too much? It's 10 o'clock. Does somebody need to go in for babysitters? Give me a wave if you need to go home. Do the rest of you okay? Is that just one? Can you do 10 minutes? Holy Spirit, I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've already said here. And we ask you to water the seed that's in us. And every bit of truth that you've spoken through your word, Lord, just seal it in us so that we have a deep and a good understanding and faith to do signs and wonders. I just want to do something about, talk to you for maybe 5 minutes about what happens on a Sunday in the ministry time, okay? And how we come forward and pray for people and so on. A couple of just really quickies. One is, if you can, before you receive prayer, look around for guests and pray for them. Then get prayer, if you can. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're under conviction or God's doing something with you and you know, I need to go and receive. Do you know what? Go and receive then. The other thing is, receive generally from the prayer team and generally women to women, men to men. Generally. That's our sort of general practice. But don't be absolutely bound by that. In other words, if you have faith that if I pray for you, you're going to be healed, that faith, if it's real faith, it overrides the normal things. You come and tell us that and we'll just pray for you. Okay, because sometimes it works like that. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about sometimes it's to do with faith in a connection of anointing, right? Like I was saying last week about Duncan, or if you've got a visiting speaker, that's often upped. And, you know, I wouldn't dream of saying, you know, if someone like Duncan's here, I wouldn't dream of saying, only the men, Duncan, or ministry team, youth first, and I'd say, get what you can. You know, if you've got faith and stuff, go and get touched by God through anyone who you've got faith for, okay? But obviously, the maturer stance is usually, you know, actually, it doesn't matter who prays for you. Because I tell you, anyone in this room is anointed of God. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They love you. They've got faith. And sometimes, you know what? God works through the weakest of us in much more power than he does through those of us who seem more experienced in much more power. So I have faith for that God will flow through one another. Don't be always looking, you know, wherever. But that aside, if there's a tiny, if there's something unusual, like, do you know what? I've absolutely got faith. I've got to get there now. Those things do happen. I've had it myself many times. And then just override everything. Break every door down. And get your miracle when you need it. From wherever you think you need it. Okay. And Margaret, would you just share your little, how you prayed for that woman. And just how you led that through. I think that's just helpful for people. We did something significant on Sunday. Which was, we called for people for deliverance. Right, and we spoke about the occult. We're going to be doing quite a bit of that on Sunday nights, probably. And Margaret's saying, oh, I just prayed for today, I just did this and I just did that, and I thought, do you know what, would you just share that with everyone? Because that's really helpful for people. Thank you.
Can you hear me? Is that all right? Just on Sunday, like Martin said, we came forward and people came for, and responded to the occult and things like that. And I just shared with Martin, I don't know, just sharing with him what I did, and he just asked me to share about that. And the person I was praying for, I just kind of said, I mean, it's just a practicality of how to, you know, helpful for you and for them. I just kind of, you know, asked her a name and told her who I was. And asked why she'd come forward. Was it in response to what Martin had said? And then she said, yes, it was. And I asked her if she what things she'd been involved with. And she said, well, mainly like tarot cards. That was the main thing. And I said, was there anything else? And she said, Ouija board. And then she said also spiritualism. And I said, okay. And I said, and do you want to repent of it then? And she said, yeah. And I said, are you a Christian? You know, and she said, I am, yeah. I said, okay then. And I said, I'm just gonna pray for you and thank God for you and for your life and for your family. And then we'll pray after that. And so I just blessed her and thanked God for her life and for her family and everything. And then I just said to her, you know, are you ready to repent, you know, of all that involvement? And she said, yeah. And I said to her, well, do one of two things. You can either pray out loud yourself, you know, and just literally go through those things and just repent of those things. Or if you want me to pray, you can just pray after me, whatever you feel happy to do. And she said, well, I'd rather pray after you. I said, okay then. So then I just said to her then those three things. I said the tarot cards, the Ouija board, and the involvement with the spiritualism. And so I basically just said, I just said the prayer, basically, you know, Lord Jesus, I repent of my involvement with the occult. And then she prayed that, and I just kind of went on again, and I repent of being involved in using tarot cards. I repent of that, and she prayed and went through the Ouija board and the spiritualism. And then also just prayed again, and she prayed after me that God will set me free and deliver me from all the effects of it. And that he will fill me with his Holy Spirit, you know. So, and she just prayed all these prayers after me, and then I just said, I'm just going to pray for you now. And then I just prayed that she would be, you know, delivered and set free. This is just me praying now, you know, delivered and set free from all the effects of the occult. And I think at that point, it was like the Holy Spirit then can give you specific, I suppose, things to pray for. And I felt it was things like, I kind of saw these like tentacles or suckers or things that were holding onto her. And so that was the thing that came to my mind. So I kind of was just praying about that, you know, that all the effects and things that I'd held onto her over the years, that they would, she would be set free from all of those things. And then just then went on again to pray that she would have the courage, like Martin was preaching about, saying no, 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 you know, when he was doing that illustration about the world and Jesus and how, in, you know, you kind of like can have them both, yet you need the courage to say no, no, no. And I suppose in a sense I felt to pray that for her, that she would have the courage to step away, if you like, from any of the involvement with the world or those situations, circumstances or people who would influence in a negative way and take her back to there. And she was like nodding, obviously she felt that was probably really relevant to her, I don't know, but you know, that that she'd have the courage to say no, 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 and not feel responsible to those people or situations, but to have the courage to say yes, yes, yes to Jesus and just totally follow him, you know. And I just prayed that she would, you know, that she would trust him, you know, and leave all that behind, and that she would be blessed and filled, and that a life and a family, and that she would be blessed and filled. And that was it, really. So, is that okay?
I just want you to see some models of praying for people through different ways. All of those things are helpful. Asking the name. Asking if they're saved. You know, if someone's, I want to repent of the Ouija board. Great. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? You know, dig a bit. Find that out. You know, it's a waste of time casting demons out of someone if they're not. And the casting out of demons of someone is a doddle if they're repenting. That was a peaceful, easy, quiet deliverance. That one was delivered. She was involved in stuff. She's gone. I'm not expecting big fireworks when for deliverance necessarily. We don't need it. If people are letting go of stuff, then that's going to be quick and quiet. Awesome. That means we're in charge. Jesus is in charge through us. Anyway. So I hope that's helpful. And, you know, go for it, guys. And we thank you for all your help and everything you're doing. You're absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you spoke and you said, I want to be your friend. And we want you to be our friend, Lord. Lord, just teach us to be your disciples, your friends, to walk with you. Help us love each other. Help us walk together in you, all the way together, through the garden gate, into paradise. that you've bought for us, that you've opened the way for us into the presence of our Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless us tonight with your Holy Spirit. Keep us safe this week, Lord. And use us every time we come together. And every time we're out and about, use us for your glory. Give us more and more words of knowledge and spiritual gifts. And just blast us, Lord, more than any of it. Pour out your Holy Spirit and just take over the church and our lives for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you.